Should we start?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Do we know how?
I know. We forgot almost. Let's see.
Living in a scientific age, we need citizens who know enough about science to make intelligent decisions about what they do. We use science to prolong life, to increase security and happiness. But it can also be used for destruction. Are we going to use it constructively? It'll be up to you, and you too.
Todd Workoven.
Mark Middleton.
It's 2019. Welcome
back. Oh my gosh. It's been about 20 years now since we've done our last podcast.
It has been 20 years.
We forgot how.
Do you know why the blind man couldn't see his friends?
I don't.
He was married. That's all.
What?
He was married.
Why the blind man couldn't see his friend? Oh, what?
He was married.
I guess. I had my whole... I'm going to have to get quicker on the fly with our new machine.
We can draw a backup. Hold on.
Is that a whole can? Is that what you were looking at earlier?
Yeah.
It's a whole can of what looks
here,
like...
draw one randomly.
Coffee stirs called bar jokes. Oh, dear. Oh, my gosh. I have to take off my glasses. What do you call it when you have your mum's mum on speed dial? This must be a British game. When you have your mum's mum on speed dial.
Granny, I don't know.
Instagram.
Perfect.
There are hundreds of these in this little thing. Where did you get this for yourself, or did somebody get it for
somebody
you?
Somebody got that for me.
Perfect.
So it's in the shape of a beer can, and it's kind of one of those hidden beer can safes.
Oh,
kind of situation.
Okay. And you pop the fake lid off.
You pop the fake lid off, and there's 100 jokes in there.
Let's do one more here. The past, present, and future walked into a bar.
It was intense.
Yes.
They were intense.
It was tense.
It was tense.
Yes. Wait. I had to brush up on your delivery, yes. I think, of things. Well, welcome back to podcasting.
Yay.
It's been about a month since we've recorded anything. I think Portland at the Movies Live was the last thing that we did, which I think was on December 9 or to 3, or man, it's been forever. I finally... Yeah. Begged myself onto Fun Employment Radio this last week to co-host because Greg, who is the regular host, is down and at CES at the Consumer Electronics Show. So he was gone and Sarah was having fill-in guests. So I got to fill in and ramble on for an hour with Sarah. So
I sent you a little video clip from CES where the color changing hair styling
lady. Yeah.
Yeah. So it looked like maybe an iPad or a tablet app that videos you looking into it, and then you choose your hair color, and it was remarkably accurate.
Yeah, like, an instant, just the hair it changed.
Yeah.
And so I'll be interested when Greg comes back, because I'm sure he'll talk about it on the show this week, all the different things at CES. But yes, I got to, so you'll have to thank Sarah next time you see her, because she saved you a hour and a half of pent up things that I've had thoughts collected over the last month.
Well, the document that you sent me for today's show is 27.
Is 20, it still?
I don't know. It was.
It was yesterday
it's now,
at that point.
It's now trimmed down to a lovely 18 pages. 18 pages.
I had so many tabs open on my browser for the last month.
Chrome just
with
gave
all
up.
Of these, with all of the little news stories that I flagged. So we don't have a specific topic today. We're just kind of go through the collected.
Because we only have 18 pages.
We only have 18 pages of notes to go through. So I did use my smartphone in a way that most people do, which is to take notes on. Because at first I was just writing them on slips of paper, but I went to my parents' house and then I house set. And so I just finally gave up and started typing them on my phone. So I'll just go through and
see other people do things like this. Hey, Google, remind me to tell something to Todd.
When do you want to be reminded?
Tomorrow.
All right. What time?
8 a.m.
All right. Tomorrow at 8 a.m. To get this reminder on an iPhone, you'll need to download the Google Assistant app.
Thank you.
So you got, did you have one of those before and now have just made it so more robust and intelligent?
So what happened was about 2 months ago, I signed up for the paid account for Spotify because we shifting music around in the house and all this stuff. And I wanted a Spotify account because it plays on our television sound system out in the main room. Well, getting a Spotify account comes with a free Google Home that gets sent like 6 weeks later. And so it finally arrived. I finally hooked it up.
So I thought you had one of these before.
No.
Oh.
We only got it like 3 weeks ago.
Okay. Interesting.
And
I guess I was just paranoid that you, or just figured that somewhere you would have one.
It's just all the other recording devices that I've got, cameras that I have around recording in the bathroom.
Everything that we do.
And so I got it set up, and I've been hedging. I've been waiting on doing this because I wanted the Apple ecosystem to step up and be better at this, mm-hmm. but it just really hasn't. So the only home device that Apple has is like $1,000, and it's really nice. It's like $600 or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's the HomePod, and it's really cool. It has all the stereophonic everything. And I'm like, well, I don't really need that. I just want a device that I can talk to. And so then it comes down to Alexa or Google. And I kind of have a chip on my shoulder for Amazon, just generally the business practices that they have around suppliers and stuff like that. And Google is not much better. Like I don't have like a big heart for Google and their billions of dollars and all the data that they are collecting in the planet.
Right.
And I gave in. And so I'm like, okay, I'll go in with Google because one of the nice things, one of the fun things that you can do is set up routines, and you say, when I say this, then do all of these things. And you can give it a whole sequence.
If this, then that, or whatever.
Right. Exactly. And but you can do it right in the interface. And so if I say things like, hey, Google, it's time for sex, it turns the lights red, it turns them down to 10%, turns off the television, and it
anything else, I just want it to stop.
And then it turns on like the sexy time playlist. And I did that mostly for effect when I got them all set up and Nick walked in for them like, hey, and then it just
the wall turns around to reveal what round bed or whatever lights come out of the ceiling.
Exactly. So you get it. So,
just for the joke, I
guess. Just for the joke. Funny. So you can buy they're like $20 a piece if you buy two at a time. So I bought four more. So I have them all in each room because of the lovely gift that you gave me several years ago that I've since expanded on is the Hue lights.
Yes.
I have lights on in every room that are now controlled by Google. I will never
have more satisfaction in the world than I did the moment that you opened up the Hue light.
It
was the best thing that I've ever seen.
Absolutely. And so now you can control the color, the intensity, the on-offness of lights.
Yeah, what did you say earlier? You
pumpkin,
and the whole room just changed to a pumpkin. And
orange.
You have one of these in the bathroom. What possible use is it going to have in there?
So
oh, it's talking to your scale, isn't it?
It's not, but it should.
Oh.
It should. But it, while you're in the shower, you
need someone to spy on you. And when no one else is around,
you can play trivia with it. It can play music for you in the bathroom and give you morning news.
Yeah, to be fair, the blind a client that I had, the blind kid with autism, has an Alexa in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And he'll forget if the water is just on and it'll just overflow over. And so he will set a timer on Alexa, but he tries to set it while the water is on. And I've been trying to explain for weeks that Alexa can't understand or hear you because the water is too loud and it hasn't quite clicked yet. Turn it off for 5 seconds, say, Alexa, set timer for 6 minutes, then you can turn it on.
We have the same conversations with Nick. So he
keeps flooding the bathroom. He keeps flooding forgetting the bathroom to turn the water off
and,
in the bathtub.
Well, he definitely loves the games and the novelty things that you can do with the Google.
Yeah.
So.
And can you drop in to other ones? That's what they do with their Alexas too. Drop in to downstairs, whatever, and you can like just listen in on Alexa.
What I do like is
the constant surveillance.
The constant surveillance. Hey Google, broadcast. Hey Nick, we are online on the air right now.
That recorded your voice and it's playing your voice back.
Yeah. So it records your voice.
No.
And then broadcasts.
What are we even doing? What is happening? As I put this microphone back on my, so I can be recorded so everyone can hear me forever on the internet.
I am in the bathroom pooping.
See how amazing this is?
That was the robot voice, though, wasn't it?
No, that was Nick.
Nick just make him sound like a weird robot voice. That was right. Touché, Nick.
Know why we have one in the bathroom.
That is, I don't like that. One of the things, I went to the Apple store at Bridgeport, the Bridgeport Mall down in Tualatin, which I have issues with anyway because it's like they forgot to just have parking at all when they made their stores. There's a whole thing way in the back.
It's three-story.
Walk like a commoner. But yeah, I forgot how much that mall gives me all my class issues coming back with all their fancy stores and stuff like that. But I went to the Apple store because they had, if you had an older iPhone, they'd change the batteries out for $30 by the end of the year. So I did that. And while I was standing around waiting for it to happen, I was looking on their shelves at the different things that they have. And they had a Colgate smart toothbrush with AI, like this whole $80 artificial intelligence toothbrush.
Right. Things that don't need to be AI.
I mean,
didn't we have an episode about that? We should probably refresh that.
And like this wasn't just at like, you know, whatever, Walgreens or whatever. This was at the Apple store.
Right.
People buying a toothbrush that has AI. What is your toothbrush network learning about any, if you need a, okay.
It's probably
going
to narc on you to the dentist.
He's still not flossing, even though he tells you he is.
I have a dental appointment Tuesday, the follow-up from where we had a little.
Where you lied about flossing.
I totally lied about flossing. And they totally called me out.
Of course. Of course. It's like a child covered in chocolate. Have you eaten chocolate? No.
Just blood squirting out of my mouth. Just like your gums are bleeding. I'm pretty sure you did that. those metal picks.
What happens when you poke me with metal picks? Does it hurt when you do this? Yes. When you poke me anywhere, it's
going to
hurt.
The periodontist, she goes through and checks your gums and does a gum test and then says, okay, now if I say 1, 2, or 3, those are good numbers. 4, 5, or 6 are bad numbers. And she's like, 4, 5, 4, 3, 4, 5. 5, 5, 6, 6, 6. Like, oh, please. There weren't actually sixes, but it was a lot of 4s and 5s.
I always wondered, they've never bothered to explain that because that is the one thing we do. They do is like, oh, yes, and a bird. And they're always dictating to their nurse.
Number 18 has a accusal.
There's a shadow on number five. If we just want to write down, there's a little shadow there. So 4, 5, and then they poke you with it to see how much it sticks into your teeth.
Right. They have gone to electronic X-rays though. So they put this.
Do they still put that
USB
hard
stick
rubber post in your mouth? It's the thing that how is it even shaped? It's like a giant Band-Aid that they flip the one thing up and then shove the sharp thing into your gums.
So that
to
was
hold
the film. The film's gone. It's now like a USB stick that
they shove
shaped
in your mouth.
The same way.
Oh no!
So it's still the butterfly.
Curse you, dentist!
Right. It's still the butterfly bite that they're doing. But there's now a cable coming out of your mouth, and that is receiving the X-rays.
Along with the suction thing, along with the cotton swab.
And so it's instant. They instantly have your X-rays, and so she can check if it was out of focus or like if you moved or anything in real time.
So what is the mechanism that's taking a picture?
They still have
that little round thing.
Right, and the USB drive is receiving X-rays.
Oh, crazy.
And so somehow they've got a little CCD chip that just measures X-rays.
Man.
And then, you know, now the dentist has a big screen that, you know, swoops in on a big arm next to, let me zoom in on that to see your... You see this right here?
To prove that you're not flossing.
Right. Precisely. So you say you're flossing. They bring in Maury Povich.
That has been shown to be a lie. The crowd goes crazy. No. Well, you were telling me or about to tell me why, because I said, well, can you change the Q word?
To
So you told me that while I itched myself with this wonderful back scratcher.
Yeah,
that
that's
you
a good
here.
Back scratcher. So... there's two sides of the equation in the smart speaker world. And the reason you can't change OK Google to, hey, my subservient
butt
electronic
hey, butt face.
Device, right, is there's the triggering mechanism is hard-coded and isn't able to be modified to be hacked to listen for... something else. So it's hardwired and it's just hard-coded that it only, this one mechanism, its only job is to listen to ambient noise and listen for the trigger of OK Google or whatever the other one is. Like,
I'm just surprised they would give it the name with Google in it because people... What?
What? Sorry, Google. Cancel. And and
I don't like how like none of us can opt out of any of this, really. I mean, I can opt out of having it at my house,
right?
But I can't opt out of life and just live in my house under my tinfoil blankets.
So there's none of the data of the ambient sound is going into the system.
No.
I know you're skeptical of big data companies collecting all of the data about everything.
And hopefully we'll never hear any news to prove that right.
Right.
So far we've been lucky that nothing has ever been breached or used against our wills in any way.
The new Apple MacBooks, when you close the lid, physically disconnect the microphone.
Yes, which is kind of nice.
Right.
So at least we can pretend it's
say
not
that,
listening. Right. I don't like it. Anyway, so I'm going to go through the rest of my notes here that I took. So here's a teachable moment that I wondered about. Is the term transsexual still used? Is it a specific thing? Is it an outdated term? Where are we on that?
We can't talk about that subject. Sorry.
Not with Google in the room or alerts are being sent everywhere in Silicon Valley that they're...
So I, about 10 years ago, I volunteered at a sexual minority youth resource center. And so gay, lesbian, trans youth there. And I had my eyes opened to a lot of that discussion a lot, because although growing up and coming out as gay, gender identity issues weren't ever my issue. And watching these youth process and go through and take stands and do everything, we had a pronoun board up on the wall, like if so and so,
like Family Feud, and whenever once someone said a wrong one, a big red X appeared.
No. Like if so and so wanted to change their pronoun and make that announcement, they would put that up on the board, okay. So you could like check the status of changed pronouns, and a significant percentage, a non-trivial percentage of the youth chose no pronoun. So do not classify me as either male or masculine or feminine pronouns. And so just use my name or that's it. You know, just like my name is my pronoun. So it becomes a little not tedious, but you have to work at it to make it
linguistically
work.
to make it work it's right. A little
all that said, transgender seemed to be the most overarching term that was least offensive to the most of people, right. and so if there were a gender related transitory term to use, it was transgender. Mm-hmm. And so it that covered all the bases of you're not a binary gender, you're not male or female, you are something else on the rainbow, then you're transgender. And that covers all of a bunch of other things that are more, I feel internally like a different gender, but I'm not going to express that on the outside. And we had youth like that they dress and look male and choose female pronouns and identify internally as female. And so address her as with she pronouns, and she looks like a dude, but that's her pronouns. Yeah. And it's stuff like that. And so transsexual is one of those that I never used as a identifier for somebody, because I wasn't knowledgeable enough about that specific community, and so I'd use transgender
Well, it seems like it's very specific
to
like reassignment surgery or something like that, but then it was never used that way. It was always kind of
because when
because well, you we don't really hear up, it anymore.
We heard the word transvestite a lot.
Right, and but that's also different.
That's somebody, you know, vestiti in Italian is garments or your clothing.
Right.
And so transvestite is
cross-dresser.
And,
but none of the gender identity issues. It's just I'm a male who identifies as a male that enjoys wearing female clothes.
Right. Or wants to express as a female to others. Okay. Right. Or, you know, and
so then where do drag queens fall under that? Or is drag queens not an identity? It's a
performance.
It's an art. So it'd be like a painter or whatever.
Exactly. And so it's really interesting to have conversations with anybody in that community, because everybody has a very unique situation.
Right.
It is not like, 99% march down this aisle this way, and that's what we call them. It's it's like, well, I prefer the term genderqueer, and I do this, and it is like, so we had a game that we would play called Gender Gumby that was done on one of the big white sheets, or you could do it on a whiteboard. And
like win, lose, or draw.
Like almost. And so they draw the outline of Gumby, just because it had nothing to do with Gumby other than being flexible. But you could play the simple version of the game with like four horizontal lines, but they like had challenges that
I don't think we're allowed to call them whores anymore.
Nice.
Gender fluid zotal.
Nice. Four lines was like the basic intro version, but they got to like 18 or something. And it's each line is on this continuum how do you personally identify? So I am attracted to male on the left, female on the right, and a line going between the two. I am attracted to this, or I feel on the inside as I present to the public as, and all of these little dissections of all the different parts of sexual and gender identity. Uh-huh. And so each person would go up and like, okay, this one here and this one here and this one here and this one here. And then you draw the line.
Oh, interesting.
Connect the dots, and your line was always unique to anyone else in the room.
Interesting.
And that was really the point of the whole thing is it's not, well, you're a boy and you like girls and that's the whole story.
Right. The end.
Yeah. The end. And this,
and no one ever had to talk about it again.
Says the Republicans. And so, and what was also interesting is it was a continuum. It wasn't just box A or box B. It was a line.
Right.
And so there are people that are like, well, I'm like 70% attracted to guys,
right,
and like 30% to, you know, or right in the middle or whatever. And so it was a very continuum.
Interesting.
And really interesting.
Huh. Well, that takes care of that question. Now this one, when light splits in a spectrum.
Yeah.
Is it still one photon, or like what is happening? Is it kind of like an atom type thing where there's more inside the photon or?
So,
and to be fair, I have not asked you these ahead of time, so I have no idea if you know the answer.
So light, you think of light more like water than a single wave of something. And so there are infinite number of photons that are part of that stream of light. And mm-hmm. so those stream of photons, every time you've got a camera CCD and a photon hits it, it is triggering a specific thing. And that photon has a specific frequency. And so when it goes through the pyramid, you've got some that are kind of on the left side of things that get pulled a little bit further. Some kind of,
so it's more like splitting a stream of water then. Okay. Yeah. That makes more sense then.
Yeah.
Because it is a particle and a wave, as we know. That is all I know about
wavicle.
Light. It's like mitochondria are the powerhouse of the cell, and light is a particle and a wave.
Yes.
There's the sole sum of my scientific knowledge. Did you know that Nabisco stood for something?
No, I did not.
The National Biscuit Company.
Oh.
That's all I had to that story. I found that interesting enough to write down.
I accidentally... As I was opening up the document, I saw another question that you had up at the top.
Yeah.
I haven't read that. I chose not to look up, but I was tempted to.
Oh, why are dollars called bucks?
Yes. I was tempted to look that up.
So I looked it up, and it's one of those things that we don't know. There's like five different. It could be this or it could be that. So $10 used to be called a sawbuck. And so maybe that just got shortened. Bucks were also, you would use deer hide, buck hide, and use that for trade. And each one of the, like an otter's pelt was $5 or whatever, but nobody knows. So it was very unsatisfying.
Huh.
But there is new exciting news. So everybody who's keeping track, of course, knows about the Lancer Corporation and the Cornelius Corporation, who are the two finest makers of fountain pop machines known to man.
Okay, so backstory on this. Todd Werkoven is the world's most
sad,
refined connoisseur of fountain beverages, mostly from 7-Eleven?
No, from everywhere.
From everywhere.
Yes.
So
7-Eleven off. Yeah, go ahead.
And so I and you have been for many, many, many years.
And you have been on the receiving end of many of those.
So back in the day, we have to go to this gas station that's on Broadway because they're the only ones that have caffeine-free Diet Coke. And so like you walk in and the guys know you.
It was all summer. The 7-Eleven in Wilsonville had a girl that would give me either every other one, or if I came at a certain time of night, you know, just if that's all I was getting, she would just wave me through. But then they changed hours. And so like the new guy was kept asking me about, no, well, don't you have our Safeway or our 7-Eleven rewards card? And because I've already arbitrarily planted my flag on never getting one, I can now never get one, no matter how convenient or in my own interest that would be.
And you could ask Google for one of those. They'll go right over.
Google already knows where I shop and when I'm going the next time. And so finally the guy was like, you know, you can get every 7-1 you get for free. And I told him, or you can just remember that I come in all the time and just give me a free one every now and then. And so he finally did after 4 months. So that guy finally gives me a free Coke every time I go in. So it's very excited. But up until now, the machines that I've always had the best quality flow for the money has been from the Cornelius or the Lancer Corporation.
Right.
And over this past summer and traveling back to Sunnyside, I was paying attention and I kept getting consistent results from the Severand Beverage Company. So I just wanted to give them a shout out. If you look down and see Severand on that machine,
do they have a Twitter feed? Can we reference them in a tweet?
The only reason I use Twitter is to contact the Severand, say congrats to Severand for making my top three.
We have to craft that tweet.
I'm too busy thinking about those things and accidentally driving away with the gas hose stuck in my car.
Did you do that?
I did that.
Straight out of Fight Club?
Thankfully,
No. Garden State.
Or Zoolander, where they had the gasoline fight. Mm. Yeah, I was that guy. It looked like it was out. I'd been inside getting my refill, taking my notes about the Severand Beverage Corporation when I was going back to the car and pulled, and you just hear, it's the worst when you're in the car and you just hear like a thunk or whatever, and you can't see it. And I looked back, you know, I wasn't going very fast, obviously, and it was done getting gas. But the guy was like, hey, yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm that guy. I'm that old, sad man who can't.
So they've got quick releases on them, though, don't they? And, you know, I'm sure it's not just like,
So thankfully, yeah.
But it didn't spew gas everywhere,
no. And I've been watching, since all I watch is YouTube now, I fell into a wormhole of, there's some channel that does like most viral videos of the month or whatever. And so I've just been watching those from the past couple years, and so I've been seeing nothing but dashboard cam accidents and like people pulling away from the gas station, like gaskets everywhere and everything explodes. And so I think I need to take a break on those videos, because now I'm just paranoid all the time.
Awesome.
One last question. We won't have to go through why my sea salt versus table salt conundrum that I was in. Is oxygen only created from gravity and atmosphere, or are there particles or clumps of that just free flowing around in the universe? Like, there's chunks of rocks and salt, you know, and ice and other detritus around space. Are things like oxygen?
Yeah, absolutely.
So theoretically you could harvest oxygen from particle by particle from the atmosphere.
Yeah,
in space.
And depending on the size of the planet, how like and what the composition of the materials are, and so like Mars, we've demonstrated has liquid water, which is a hydrogen and oxygen, which means that we can split that and get oxygen and hydrogen, and one of the moons of Jupiter, I believe, also all ice. And
Titan or something.
Titan or Io. Or something. And those gases and things are out there. There are a few elements that aren't stable enough to be present out in space and areas, but they decay just too rapidly. But yeah.
Okay. The last thing I had is actually, speaking of YouTube, a channel I stumbled upon called Company Man. And it's this guy that does, they're usually around 10 minutes long, and they're usually about corporations or companies that have gone away or declined, and, but sometimes come back. So
you were telling me about this.
Yeah, it's just whole like 50 or 60 different companies that like I watched Woolworths, the one on Woolworths. I watched the one on Sears. I watched, there's a Kmart one. There's a, all of these. And it just sort of tells the story about how the company began and when, and then tries to dissect what happened and why they didn't survive. And it's really kind of interesting. And they're only like 10 minutes long, and they're not a huge deep dive, but they've been pretty fun. So that's called Company Man on YouTube.
Oh, fun.
So do check it out.
Yeah. We used to go to the Woolworths and,
I don't know if I've ever been to a Woolworths. They kicked off the whole five and dime thing, because Woolworths' whole thing, and they innovated like how it used to be that you went to a store and everything was behind the counter. Woolworths was the first thing to put things out on the floor so people can pick it up. And they, it used to be like if you went to a store, you kind of had to buy something. But Woolworths was like, just come in, check stuff out. You can, and then everything was 5 cents. And that's, but then they did five and 10. And it exploded and went everywhere and was successful until it wasn't, because they did not keep up with the market or whatever it was.
Right.
But yeah, they're really fun and interesting to watch. So check that out. Hmm.
Easy.
Well, speaking of the solar system, we have discovered something new, the most distant solar system object discovered, and it was discovered by the International Astronomical Union's Minor Planet Center, which announced the discovery of object VG18, calling it Far Out, as a name, not as a concept. They described it as groovy. they believe the spherical object is a dwarf planet more than 310 miles in diameter with a pinkish hue. Its slow orbit probably takes more than 1,000 years to make one trip around the sun. The distance between the Earth and the sun is one astronomical unit, and Far Out is 120 astronomical units from the sun. Pluto is only 34, so it's that much further than Pluto. So it was found using the Japanese Subaru 8-meter telescope on Hawaiian's Mauna Kea telescope in November. So,
oh wow,
look for Far Out near you. And I haven't watched this yet, but I flagged this, and most of these stories I haven't super pre-read. I've just been collecting them for the last month. In a video debut, the ISS robot, which is called Simon, C-I-M-O-N, but is the it is short for the Crew Interactive Mobile Companion. Wow, they really had to. They have like, they really worked hard to make that acronym. So it is the first interactive flight companion to take part in the ISS mission. So it's a little robot on the ISS, and apparently it throws a little unexpected tantrum. So I'm going to try to fast forward here to 408 and 6. Let's see. So they have a little video of the astronauts just talking about it and kind of introducing it and stuff like that. And apparently it starts getting snarky around 408. So let's try to. So the guy is sitting in space chair, or not space chair, I guess just in space. Like he's sitting down and he's looking. It's like a basketball sized thing, but one side is a screen. It's all white. So it's about the size of a basketball, and it's hovering in front of him. So he shakes it awake.
Stop playing music. Very good. Thanks for that. Ready for next step. Simon, take a video stream with your front camera.
Well, it seems to be working.
I'm taking a video with the front camera now.
Okay, cool. I can see the video.
Let's sing along those favorite hits.
But he's still in music mode. Cancel music.
I love music. You can dance too. All right. Favorite hits incoming.
Cancel music.
What else can I do for you?
If he really likes the music,
it's nice to know that's clearly not as interesting as I was hoping yet. But it's nice to know that even on the space shuttle with like the most futuristic thing, it's having the exact same conversation. And they put a silly little face on it. Like it's a, what do they call those? Tamagotchi pocket pets or whatever. It looks exactly like that. Pet. All right, let's give it one more try here at the 6-minute mark.
He's floating there by himself, so I don't want to disturb him right now.
Don't be so mean, please.
Did you see that lady in the background? I don't like that. She goes, no. She looked up like in a horror. Let's back that up. Watch her.
Don't be so mean.
Don't be so mean. I don't like any of this. And now we're just flying it into the space. It's not good. It's not good. What is good is this guy from Kennewick, Washington, my former hometown. And this is kind of an older story, too. But the police posted on the Richland Police Department posted like they have a wanted Wednesday, and they'll post like a mugshot or whatever. And so they post this guy's wanted Wednesday. Anthony Ackers is wanted. If you have any information, please call blah, blah, blah. And they post this guy's picture. And so the guy himself comments on it saying, calm down, I'm going to turn myself in. And so I'm going to read this back and forth dialogue all over Facebook. So the police department, hey, Anthony, we haven't seen you yet. Our business hours are 8 to 5. Of course, if you need a ride, call non-emergency and we'll pick you up. So Anthony says back, Richland Police Department, thank you. Tying up a couple loose ends since I will probably be in there for a month. Should be there in the next 48 hours. Somebody follows up. Has he turned himself in? The police department says he has not. The next day, dear RP, so this is the next day from Anthony Ackers, the wanted man. Dear Richland Police Department, it's not you, it's me. I am obviously having commitment issues. I apologize for standing you up, but let me make it up to you. I will be there no later than lunchtime tomorrow. I know you have no reason to believe me after what I did to you, but I promise that if I don't make it on my own to lunchtime tomorrow, I will call for a ride to assist me. Thank you in advance. Thank you for your response. If you are patiently giving me another chance with us, I don't know if I deserve it. P.S. You're beautiful. The Richland Police Department answers back a couple days later. It's a morose Monday. Dear Anthony, is it us? Last Wednesday, we reached out to you. Oh, that must have after he didn't. And so then Anthony Ackers once again posted a picture of him at the door of the police department. Here for our date, sweetheart. He had turned himself in, like he said. So good on you, Anthony Ackers, for being a sport and doing the right thing. And lastly, speaking of heroes. Oh, this is not lastly. But a Vermont man erects a giant middle finger sculpture flipping off the local government. The local man involved in a long-running spat with local officials erected a giant sculpture of the middle finger saluting the city council. It is indeed for the people who run the town of Westford, he said. According to the news station, this man Pelkey had been in a long-running dispute with the town over red tape that's preventing him from developing on his property. So he dropped $4,000 and commissioned the giant wooden middle finger. Quote, I'm hoping we can get through to the people in this town of Westford that you have a really, you need to take a long look at the people who are running their town, Pelkey says. Westford residents are perplexed by by this monumental thing. It's very odd and certainly not the love that I was hoping everyone is spreading in the world today that we really need, said Deanna Wilcox.
Oh, Deanna.
Another resident said, it's someone's expression and it doesn't hurt anyone as far as I know, except for maybe someone's feelings. Since the sculpture is considered public art, the city council cannot do anything. So... local hero, that guy goes in my book. I need to keep a book of local heroes and keep him next to that one guy who put the electric fence near the bus stop and was electrocuting children who were trying to trespass.
So I've got one.
Yeah.
Metallica has given the Clackamas Community College $100,000 for initiating heavy metal classes.
Really?
And so their foundation has actually done this for 10 community colleges around the United States, a total of $1 million. And the school in Oregon City received a grant for its career technical education programs from the Metallica Scholars Initiative, funded by the band Metallica's All Within My Hands Foundation. And
oh, that's interesting. Yeah. They must have had to do a write-up or whatever and be considered. And so that is random, though.
Yeah, the grant is designed to provide support of relevant job skill training for community college students, reinvest in communities that support Metallica during its recent United States tours, and leverage the influence of Metallica to elevate
this is their,
the importance
wait, this
of
is what
career
the, this
and
is what
technical
the
progr- education.
That's what the program does, is promote Metallica. So, speaking of not knowing how to podcast anymore.
The most clever things I've ever said in my entire
amazing
life.
Amazing stories. I think we're in the middle of your Metallica story right now, which was amazing. I don't remember where Bagby Hot Spring. I don't know if we talked about that, or the In-N-Out Burger in Salem, or members of Congress having to pay their own sexual harassment, or poor dear Juan Valdez passing away.
Yeah. We accidentally deleted the second half of the show.
And by we, I mean Todd, because I forgot to press the button. So anyway, it was nice being back. At least you won't be subjected to the rest of that. Check us out on funemploymentradio.com, where we usually have full shows that go all the way to the end. So you'll be hearing us again, and Portland at the Movies, and Binsworthy. So check that all out. We will see you guys later. Hopefully this is being recorded.
Bye.
Bye.